the Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talley, Tony Venus, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
And this is episode 152. Two-thirds?
Two-thirds, yeah, two-thirds. And we're calling it that because you probably noticed last week we didn't have a show, and that was my fault, and that threw our schedule off, and Matt was thrown off by that, too, so he...
So we
didn't confirm, so Matt's not here today.
Exactly. So what happened last week, why Mary wasn't here, was communication problems.
I take full responsibility. You communicated. I didn't check my email because I was out of town for a part of the day, and then I was busy, and I forgot that we had moved it from Sunday to Saturday.
Right.
So Sunday I was ready for it, but that was a day too late.
Yeah. And then more communication problems happened with Matt not being here today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll
take partial responsibility for that because I should have sent an email out just to confirm with everybody. So... anyway, but here we are, and we'll have probably a slightly shorter show.
Yeah.
But that may be good. So, Tony, what's going on with you?
Well, I did last show. I announced I was going to be doing a Cisco boot camp, and I successfully completed the boot camp.
Was there a crucible? You know what a crucible is? It's in the Marines. Once you get done with their boot camp, you have to go on this like. I think it's a couple of day thing where they just, they throw everything at you. I mean, just, it's really grueling. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Actually,
maybe just
they
the
didn't
final
call it the crucible.
Is.
Right. Yeah. That's
they
more
called
like
it
final
the final test.
But what we did have almost all Friday, like 6 hours of Friday mm-hmm. was just, they called the super labs. And so there's a book you go through and they tell you configure all the switches and all the routers and this configurations and just go. And,
at the end?
It did.
All right.
Yep. And then at the end it's like, you should be able to do this, this, and this. And when you try it, and then if not, then you have to go through and troubleshoot.
Were you nervous when you started to?
Yeah.
A little nervous because you just think, okay, is this going to work?
Exactly. If I think it's going to work, but.
So now with that Cisco, now you got some kind of a certification once you successfully completed that course, right?
But not the course. The course, or I got a piece of paper saying I finished the course.
Oh, okay.
But now I have to go and take the test.
Oh, I see.
Right. And in the training that we did, or I took, that company provides a voucher for the test. So in the cost of the training was included the voucher and stuff and they do that guaranteed pass thing, so there's all sorts of study materials.
No matter how many times you got to take it.
No. Actually, they give it to you twice, and then after that, they're like, maybe we should talk.
Huh. Well, so are you scheduled to take that test now? Or
yeah. Okay, yeah, well, I haven't actually scheduled it, but I'm going to do it this week,
okay.
Thursday or Friday, depending on what's available.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be good. Yeah, because you want to kind of get that in while all that information is still fresh in your head.
Right.
Because I think back to that Python course I took, and I'm thinking, I better read some book on Python because I have not done anything in the last month related to Python.
You know,
wrapped up, and yeah, I think I need to move on and continue. But so, well, good for you. That's
cool.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So.
And then I have a couple other small things I did the last couple weeks. Is you know that? Do you remember that program InSync? It's a
Is that with editing or footnoting and.
No, it's to sync your documents to Google Drive.
Yes, I remember that now.
Yeah, and it works, it's for Linux, and it works, mm-hmm. It works pretty good. I went on there one day, and they had a free, subscription day. So you go in, and you can sign up that day for a free service.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was able to get that, and I started it running, and it, you know, it synced the stuff I had in there down to my folder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to sync stuff from my computer up. So do you remember about a month ago, maybe it was 2 months now, I had an article of how to use any like cloud service syncing, and then have your files encrypted. And what it does is,
I'm sure if I thought about it, I'd remember it.
Right. Well, it's fine. It's a command that you run, and you can run it as a daemon.
Okay.
And what it does is it mounts a folder as an encrypted volume,
mm-hmm.
and then you point it to another volume or another folder, and it takes all that data and encrypts it, and then so everything inside this encrypted volume, you know, is now encrypted,
replicated, and encrypted somewhere.
It grabs. It says, "Here's the source," and then it encrypts all that and has it as a folder.
Okay.
Well, and then you point your syncing program to that encrypted folder,
and then it
syncs all the encrypted data up. So it's encrypted on your computer before it leaves.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you can use any cloud syncing app to use that with that. So
really?
That's what I'm doing in sync with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so all my data is encrypted before it leaves my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What it's nice is because it does it on the fly. I don't have to think about, I edit this file, now re-encrypt it. I edit this file, now re-encrypt it.
Mm-hmm.
I just work within the one folder, and mm-hmm. it automatically encrypts anytime there's changes and stuff.
Okay. So really, there's no action needed by you. It just monitors that folder and detects the changes and takes care of it in the background.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
so how about you?
Well, actually, in your comments about that, are kind of a good segue, to some of the things that I did. One thing I want to mention is since we last recorded, you know, I think we talked about the fact that I was going to get that network drop and Matt was going to come over and Matt came over and did a great job. I also thanked him for, dusting the floor of my crawl space because when he exited, I think he had about, you know, 30 years worth of dust on him, but, but it works great. I got rid of that, network wire that went down the stairs under the rug and into my office. So it was great. So we did that. And then the other thing I was working on, upgraded my laptop to PCBSD 10.0.2, and that went overall pretty well. I've got a little laggy thing when I move my windows, which I showed you earlier. So, I'm going to look into the video, what video driver it's using, and just see if I can make some tweaks there to kind of fix that. But then the other thing I did too is that I've been looking to move from Dropbox to another syncing and backup utility. And, the thing that's really held me back from kind of going full over into BSD is the fact that I can't find that client that I can use in BSD and then use in Linux if I'm still using Linux. Well, as it turns out, Spider Oak, I discovered that there's a port in the FreeBSD port tree that, contains, the Spider Oak install files. So I went in and I compiled it, installed it onto my PCBSD laptop, and it works. So So my next step is I'm going to test it just to make sure that I feel comfortable with the syncing, and then I'm going to purchase a subscription to Spider Oak, and then move away from Dropbox. So.
Nice.
Yeah, and the nice thing about Spider Oak, it's kind of an interesting utility because Dropbox, all Dropbox is, and it does it very well, is just an automatic syncing where if you have two devices attached to your Dropbox account, you make a change in one, it's going to sync it to the other device.
Yeah.
What Spider Oak does is they've got that syncing feature, but they also have an encrypted backup. So I designate what I want to be encrypted client side and then backed up to their cloud. And, you know, as they've indicated, they have zero knowledge of, they're not able to open those files or decrypt it or anything. That's all maintained client side. So there's kind of like two aspects to Spider Oak, and then I can set up a public share if I want to put some files out there that will that I want to make available to people. There's a place to do that too. So I've been kind of playing around with Spider Oak and have found it to be I think quite serviceable for what I'm going to use it for. Cool. I'm just waiting for TarSnap someday to get that little automatic syncing in addition to the backup, because they do encrypted backup, and that's a pretty solid service.
Right.
But I like that syncing piece too, so.
Right. Yeah, it is very nice. I use it all the time with my setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's, that's some of the stuff that I did. And, cool. I'm a better person for it.
Oh, you know, one other project I'm doing is I'm trying to learn Docker.
Oh, really?
Docker, yeah. I have, right now I have two physical computers.
When you say servers. Learn Docker, what does that mean? Are you talking about from like an administrative side or just to use it or?
Just to use it. But to use it, you pretty much have to administer it.
You know, as I was saying that, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of both.
Yeah. Right. And what I do, right now I have my Plex server and my, my own cloud server and file server. And I want to combine those together. And I want to be able to, so I thought this would be a good chance to learn Docker, you know, and so I can containerize, own cloud and have that running and, you know, in case there's some kind of, instability or security problems, then containerizing helps with that. I'm starting to learn that, and I got as far as to spin up a Ubuntu machine, and that's as far as I got. Took me about an hour to learn that much. And
really?
Then, yeah. Well, I
see that
there's some pre-built. There's some pre-built Docker for own cloud.
Oh, okay.
Docker containers for own cloud.
So, if you were to use those, spinning those up takes only a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get
well,
you.
It took more time to download it than anything else because you have to download the whole Docker container, and it started up. It's just a few of the options. I wasn't sure of how to get in and edit the options for that, what that person had enabled. And they're like, oh yeah, you just enable and you can run MySQL. And it was already running. It was set up to run, Lite SQL. And so it was just, I figured it'd be better for me to learn it in the long run. And then, I can, you know, roll it all and, you know, just learn how to do it all. But what I found was interesting is the way they containerize out is per, like, application. So OwnCloud with Apache would be one container.
Okay.
And then the, there's, for MySQL runs another one, and that would be
a separate container.
You know what that
reminds me of, and, just the way you just described it, you've heard me talk of turnkey Linux.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me, I mean, these are like little virtual machines that you can either run locally using VirtualBox or you can run it up in Amazon Elastic Compute Cloud I'll call them containers, but they're really just these machines. And they're very specialized. If you want to run, you can run a LAMP stack, you can run, for example, you want to run a Drupal application, all the stuff you need is there, and then you just take that, put it up at Amazon and run it. So that, it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I think the biggest difference is, the difference between containerizing and virtualization, but yeah.
Yeah, that aspect of it just reminded me of, turnkey Linux, which I was in love with it for a while. I still like it. I'm just not actively using it.
Yeah, you just don't have a purpose for it right now.
No.
Right.
Although, CouchDB, which is a non-SQL database, which is used by a lot of, but it's used by some websites.
Yeah.
To, as their back-end database. I'm kind of curious about that because all of my experience with databases have been in relational databases, and I kind of like that. I like tables and joins and all that kind of stuff. And I think it would be kind of interesting to take one of the turnkey Linux virtual machines, and I can run it off local, you know, off my local system. Although I should be able to run it off a virtual machine in PCBSD because it's a separate.
As long as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just to learn about CouchDB because I don't know a lot about it, and I can't fathom how you can have a database without tables and indexes and all that. And I think it has indexes, but it's just done differently.
Yeah, so. You know what that makes me think about something that when you're learning a new program like CouchDB, having a virtual machine that's already set up and running makes it so much easier to learn it than having to troubleshoot what you installed that you don't know what you're actually installing or how to do it right.
Yep.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
Because then once you get it down, you know how to use it, then you can go through and learn how to install it and administer it better.
Yeah, and now that I think about it, I think it's MongoDB, which is another, it's of the same type. You know, it's kind of like
and the
Postgres SQL and MySQL or MariaDB. I mean, it's a similar NoSQL database system.
Cool.
But yeah, so I might check that out and then report back.
Okay.
Oh, I've said that so many times, haven't I? All right. So, I guess, you know, this week, are we going to have a kernel update? Usually that comes from Matt.
That does. I don't know. Should we?
Yeah, go ahead, Tony. Why don't you take a stab at it?
How about, I'll just read off what's the main line.
Yeah.
The main line is 4.1 RC5.
Wow, it's already up to 4.1?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh, and then stable is 4.0.4.
Okay.
And then we'll let Matt take care of the rest next time.
Yeah. So, well, thanks. Thanks, Tony. Matt's proxy.
All right. All right. And next up we have...
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
3 weeks of distros.
No.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, we're going to whip through them.
Yeah, we're going to whip through them. So on 5.9, we have 4M Linux 12.0. 5.11, we have Black Lab Linux 6.5 SR1. 5.12, we have Rock Cluster Distribution 6.2.
I had a few things to say, but that's all right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was actually going to mention, let's see, where did you leave off on? You moved right along to Black Lab, or are you there yet?
That's Black Lab, but...
Oh, okay.
If you have something to say, that's fine.
No, that's fine. I was going to mention some distros, you know, they're dropping their support for 32-bit ISOs. I'm happy to say, though, that Black Lab has not done that yet. And so you can get both versions if you need a 32-bit version, you can get that. So, go ahead. Just keep going.
We have UCS, or the Univention Corporate Server, 4.0.2.
Yeah. And they've got that community version, and then you can also get the official support or the commercial support version. So.
Yeah. Nice. I like that kind of, support setup, because then somebody that, you know, is running it, just learning about it can install it and run it and learn about it. And then whenever you need, uptime and, you know, running it in a corporate environment or something, then you can definitely have that available.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Next up we have is ConArchert.os.
ConArchert OS.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Is it French? I think it's French, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, anyway.
It's based on Slackware.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Next up we have is Tails 1.4. That was on the 13th.
Yeah. And, they have a pretty regular release schedule. With all the security, and speaking of security, I think, did the Patriot Act expire last night?
I'm not sure. I've heard talk about it, but I can't remember what the date was.
We have 2 days of freedom. Anyway, all right. Well, we'll just move on.
All right. We have NewTix 15.05. And what was interesting is when I looked at that, I thought, is that Nutty X? Or
Mary, NewTix, yeah.
We were talking before the show started. Mary told me how it was supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, so.
Because it's NUTYX. So I thought nudie, or nutty X.
it's not long U. NUTIC. Well, no, it is long.
Yeah, with the
Nudix.
Long U.
NUTIX. NUTIX. NUTIX.
Right.
It's another NYX. Let's just say that.
All right. And then we, on the 16th, we have Handy Linux 2.0.
Yeah, that's the one I reviewed a couple months ago. Nice dashboard. It's a nice little distro. I remember that one.
Yeah. On the 17th, we have Netrunner. 16. That's the Kubuntu-based Linux, where they're actually developing Kubuntu also.
Yeah, they are, and well, it's not they're not developing. Well, oh, the company, yeah.
Netrunner releases Kubuntu now, doesn't it?
Well, Netrunner is a distro. I don't think that's the name of the company. I think it's
Blue.
I can't think of the name of the company, but Netrunner's website for this release was kind of humorous because, when I say humorous, they kind of told the story about this release, and it had this kind of Egyptian theme to it. Yeah, it was kind of, I thought it was kind of fun, when I took a look at it, but anyway, so, yeah, I've thought about maybe, if I don't take my workstation over to PCBSD, dumping Kubuntu for Netrunner.
Hey.
Just to see what that's like.
All right.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
All right. Next up we have on the 17th is Parsix GNU Linux 7.5. And then we have PCBSD 10.1.2.
Yeah, is it 10.1.2?
It is.
Wow.
That's on the 18th. It was 10.1.2.
That's right. What was they calling it? 10.0.2. Yeah, you know, and I think we were talking before the show that I've automatically, or I've set my laptop up to do automatic downloads. So Tony, if there was any drag on your network this morning, it was probably me. But, one thing I've noticed, and I may have mentioned this earlier, is I gotta look at that video. My video setup, because you see how I scroll and you notice that it doesn't do that fast scroll. It just repaints in a very.
It looks like, it looks like the hardware acceleration has been turned off. And it's just using what the software and the processor itself can, or the CPU can do.
Yeah, I've got an NVIDIA.
And try to refresh the page.
Yeah, and I've got an NVIDIA.
Yeah, so it's not using anything the NVIDIA processing is actually doing. It's just, so I would definitely look into making sure you have the video driver set up. And,
you know, and it's interesting you say that because before, and one of the nice things about PCBSD is they have what are called boot environments where basically are snapshots earlier.
Oh.
And yesterday, when I noticed this after the upgrade, yesterday I went in and booted into a boot environment from early May, and I was back to my fast moving around and everything. And I did notice that when the NVIDIA driver is put in place, because, you know, I mean, they go ahead and use those proprietary drivers, but I normally get a little splash screen for the NVIDIA driver. I haven't been seeing that, so I suspect that something else is set up in there, and
that's it. Yeah.
I need to make a change. So maybe I'll have some interesting tale to tell next episode.
All right. You know, that's pretty cool. I never heard of the boot environment before.
Mm-hmm.
That's really handy. That's neat.
I think five previous ones. I mean, I can get rid of them if I want to, but yeah. So I thought I'm going to go back to the earliest one I have, which was like about a month ago. When everything seemed fine, and sure enough, I mean, I was able to move my windows around without any of that draggy slowness.
Can you then set that, say, like, I know this is when it worked good last time, set that as the base now? Or is it just a one-time boot back to?
No, I think it's, well, see, they use Grub, and I think that, I have to do a little research. I don't know if it's part of that Grub, part of a Grub menu that's been set up, or whether it's really another, PCBSD specific, screen that is hit after I go through the initial Grub thing. Although, I bet it is in Grub.
Yeah,
if you can list a kernel, you can list the kernel stuff when you think about, you know, in Linux when you've got a menu and you've got options.
Yeah.
I'll do a little checking on that, but it is nice. It's just, you know.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right. Next up on the 22nd, we have Q4OS 1.2.2.
Yeah, there's the server version. They had to do a little update. Apparently there was a bug that was causing the server start to crash on some platforms. So,
oh no.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes. You release something and then you discover, oh my God. And then you got your bug fix update. So.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but they also included a command to kind of help with that whole process to take care of that bug fix, or to help with the bug fix.
All right. All right, on the 25th, we have Web Converger 30.0.
Yeah, those guys, they've been around for a long time. You know, first time they hit Distro Watch front page was back, I think, in 2009, so they've been around for about 5 years. And one thing I did note when I did a little checking on that that distro is that with this particular release, they are dropping support for 486s. Because, you know, this is a a kiosk, kind of a internet cafe where you could use underpowered PC, not underpowered, but, you know, legacy PCs, because all you're doing is browsing, maybe email checking and that type of thing. So,
yeah.
But they're finally, I guess, biting the bullet on 486. You're saying.
Yeah. Just about anything you do today, 486 is not going to work.
Not going to work.
Especially web related.
Yeah. So they basically did that.
All right. On the 26th, we have Fedora 22.
Yeah, you know what I heard? They are going to be, I think, with the next release of Fedora, which is Fedora 23, if my math skills are in line, they are going to be ditching the FedUp updater.
Really?
Yes, they are going to. So, of course, I posted that in Google Plus and said, I hope they do something with the partition, the partition manager they use.
Did you get a lot of flack from that?
No, well, no, because at the very end I say, once you get past that, Fedora is pretty good. And it is. It's, you know, it's a nice distro. But, on the developer mailing list this past week, I read that. Where did I see that? I think it might have been in Phoronix, I think it was. There was a little mention of it. So I went over to the Fedora developer list, which I've never really been in before. And, they were just talking about it. They said, I think it came in with Fedora 17, and they said, we've learned some valuable lessons about how upgrades work and how they fail. And we've come to the conclusion that the current design is unsupportable, mostly due to upgrade.img, which turns out to cause more problems than it solves. So, they kind of laid out kind of a little basic overview of how it should work on, you know, as far as the upgrade, and I think this replacement they want to do. So I guess we'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah, nice. All right, on the 26th, we have Gparted Live 0.22.0-2.
I think I mentioned the last time we talked about Gparted that I sent them like 20 or 25 bucks or something like that. They get a kind of a steady stream of donations. I think for the month of May, they had about just shy of $175.
Wow.
I mean, it's, come on, people, you can do better than that. I mean, especially if you use it. I've used it.
Oh, I see. Do they have a counter on their website? How do you know that?
I added it up because they list everybody.
Oh, they list it all.
Yeah,
I see.
I'm there from back in March when I donated.
Okay.
I was going to put smlr.us, but I probably should have. I didn't. I will next time when I donate. But I added it.
Cool. All right. And on the 26th, we have Alpine Linux 3.2.0. And I know I've heard a lot of stuff about that, and it's security-oriented. Built from scratch.
Yeah, and there's some increased interest in Alpine Linux with that whole system D. Not to bring up that ghost from the past, but
right.
For people who don't mind rolling up their sleeves, because this is not a beginner's distro, and want to get away from a distro that's system D dependent, they can, because I was checking their forums and there was somebody there that listed, they had quite a lengthy post about why they were moving to Alpine Linux, and you know, that was one of the reasons. So,
all right, cool. Next up, we have Alt Linux 7.0.5.
Yeah, you know, they've got this quarterly starter, they got these quarterly updated starter kits. And these, they're built from the Alt Linux stable repository as a base, and they kind of gear them toward experienced users as a way to have a look at various desktop environments or window managers that they haven't had a chance really to look at yet. oh my God.
We're being attacked by kids.
But anyway, so they've got those available for people. I thought it was kind of interesting. If you want to check that out.
Yeah, let me go shut the door.
All right. And I think... Yeah, we'll probably cut this, out of the audio. So. Matt is in the chat.
Yes.
Well,
we haven't been watching at all.
Yeah, he joined about a half hour ago.
It's our typical ignore the IRC while we're going along.
It's kind of hard to, well. Anyway, so we left off with Alt Linux, I think it was. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And next up, you know, there's a development one that looks kind of interesting. It has an interesting logo. And I don't know how to say it. Magnikai Nuya.
Just give it a try, we'll laugh.
Magakaka? No, M-A-G-A-K-A. Magaka Nu, N-Y-U, Nua, Nu Alpine.
You had one too many kas in there, let me tell you. yeah, it's Mangaka, I think.
Mangaka.
Yeah, and actually, this isn't the first time. This was out there on DistroWatch, I think, several years ago, and with a release, and hasn't really been seen since. So, and they kind of acknowledge that it's been a little dormant. So, I guess it'll be kind of interesting to see what's going on with it, because originally, as I believe that the text there indicates, it was originally, I think, focusing on anime or that cartoonish stuff
that
I'm not the least bit interested in.
Right.
And now it sounds like they're broadening the focus.
All right.
So that may be that they're becoming unfocused. I don't know.
Well, right here it says that it's based on 1404 and strives to respond to offer a responsive, customized desktop.
Yeah.
So, I wish them luck.
Might be worth a review.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
On the 28th, we have IPFire 2.17 Core 90. So updates for your firewall if you're running that. And last on the list is TinyCore Linux 6.3. Pretty tiny.
He has in 12 megabytes, I think. That is pretty tiny. So.
Yeah.
So that's, 5150's in the chat this morning. Hey there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I guess we'll move on to...
Moving on to the top five of the week.
That's right.
At number five, we have OpenSUSE with 1221.
Yep, and trending up.
And in number four, we have Ubuntu with 1464.
Oh, and trending down.
Yeah, number three is Debian with 1559.
Trending down.
And number two is Fedora with 2186.
And trending up.
And in the number one spot is Mint.
And trending down.
With 3132 trending down.
That's right. That's right. And let's see. We'll do a quick scan of my little BSDs here at 36 this past week. We've got PCBSD at 334. And then just a few notches below it, we've got FreeBSD at 314. And both of those just happen to be trending down. I think it's just a coincidence. I'm sure they'll be surging forward as soon as more people give them a try.
I think so.
They should.
Of course.
All right.
All right. The next up is... Mary's, what do you have for this week?
What do I have for this week? Well, actually, it normally would be Matt's tool. This is Matt's tool week. But I'll be happy to fill that void with some.
I think our schedule's so far off of what we've been doing in the past. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure which was which. I was hoping that you guys would work that out.
Oh, that's okay, though. One thing I want to talk about, and this kind of goes back to our conversation, I think, before we started recording this morning. We were talking about OwnCloud, and I had mentioned, because in, I believe, the May issue of Linux Magazine, there was an article about C-File. And I had never heard of C-File. It's a, it is a kind of a cloud-based application. When I say cloud-based, that cloud is sitting, can be sitting on your own server. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's similar to OwnCloud in terms of functionality. I think there are some differences. I haven't really jumped in and taken a look at a lot of them, but the C-File is, hang on here. And one thing we noticed, go ahead, Tony.
It looks really cool. It says it's open source cloud storage for your teams and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So it enables a lot of collaboration and file syncing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there's also mobile office. That looks cool.
Yeah, and I think it was they open sourced this, according to the information on the site, I think back several years ago, back in July of 2012. And the whole theory behind open sourcing it is they felt that it would broaden its appeal, and although unfortunately I hadn't heard of it until that article in Linux Magazine, but it is kind of interesting, you know, as far as checking it out anyway.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool. Yeah. They have a pro license that you can pay for too. And,
mm-hmm. And a community version, which is free.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that model too, and how, you know, that can be a really good model. If you're somebody who's responsible for maintaining an IT infrastructure for a small company, or you work with customers who have that type of environment, having a company like this, or like any company that provides that kind of service, where you can go ahead and install the free version, but knowing that they're in the back and you can go ahead and purchase a subscription for help is pretty nice. And I think that's how open source can really shine.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So, all right.
That's cool.
So anyway, that was the only thing that I wanted to talk about as far as cool tools. Although, disclosure, or disclaimer, I have not installed it.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't, the last time I did any kind of, cloud server stuff at home was my Tonito server that I did a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I still have one in the box I haven't even opened yet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I should give it another try. Now that Matt has, you know, he reorganized or he put that network drop in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so great. I can't.
It's awesome.
Oh, it is. It really is.
Cool.
So, all right.
All right. So I guess news items.
Yes. I've got at least one item for the news. And this, let me see, where's my news? Oh, yeah, it's under banter. Not to be mistaken with serious stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit about the demise of the Mandriva company, the French-based company that had the Mandriva Linux distribution.
Oh, yeah.
They had to lay some people off because they were trying to make ends meet. And usually when you've got more losses than you've got profits, something's got to give, and it tends to mean layoffs. But apparently in France, the rules about laying people off from work are much more stringent than they are here in the U.S. So when Mandriva took that action to lay people off, there were several employees that filed a lawsuit against Mandriva. And, you know, again, referring back to the fact that they've got some strong regulations and laws about layoffs, Mandriva, I think, ran the numbers and figured that it would be easier for them to just fold up and cease to exist than to go through the whole process of fighting a lawsuit or lawsuits, especially if they didn't think they were going to win those lawsuits.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's kind of unfortunate, you know, because in the U.S., the reason that that doesn't happen as much is because, you know, we don't have the strict laws. But this is one of the situations where that, you know, is it better to lay some people off and employ, you know, other people or have to close the entire company and everybody loses their jobs? So the people that are laid off still lost their jobs, and all their previous coworkers lost their jobs too.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, so it's kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Although the ones that lost their jobs due to layoff probably don't care because they were already without a job.
Right.
Although now they have no recourse because the company
is gone.
Is going to be liquidated.
Yeah. The lawsuit that they went about, they were hoping probably to get some money to, you know, for living costs and stuff, obviously. But now they don't get anything, and the company they previously worked for is gone. So.
Yeah. But, you know, Magia, one of our favorite distros. No, just kidding. It's a nice RPM-based distro. That has its roots in, Open Mandriva. Although it'll be interesting to see Open Mandriva. It'll be interesting to see if that gets taken up and continued. I didn't recall seeing anything to that effect, but I didn't read every article about the demise of the company. So there may have been mention of it in an article that I missed. But, Magia, which has its roots in Mandriva, is going to continue.
All right.
Which makes sense because it's a separate entity anyway. So.
Yeah.
But that was my, one news item for this week.
Cool. And I've been so busy this week, I didn't get a chance to look up any news, so I was trying to look up a few articles right now, and there's nothing that really pops out at me.
How about the 11 pointless but awesome Linux terminal tricks?
Yeah. A lot of these are interesting articles to glance through, but it's hard for me to like call them news articles. But
I'm kidding. Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
I don't know. What's that one... There's a thing where you SSH into another server and it runs, it was called Blinking Lights, where it runs the actual, Star Trek from, or Star Wars from the beginning to the end.
You can watch the movie in ASCII
format. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've heard of it. I've never done it before. But that may be something worth posting at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I was going to mention too is that a couple of episodes ago, we talked about, the country of India and, the fact that they had mandated, open source, or that at least, open source, solutions had to be considered when they were, issuing an RFP, request for proposal.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, that's been watered down, after Microsoft did some lobbying over there. So there, I saw a little blurb about that, which I, you know, who's surprised about that, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that's pretty much what I got.
One of the things they have on here is, if you apt-get space moo, then it shows the Debian,
cow.
What is that, GNU?
Oh, is that?
I think, yeah, the Debian cow, and it says, you've been mooed today.
Have you mooed today?
Oh, that's what it says.
That's all right.
So that's funny. And then there's an aptitude version also, but it looks a little bit different. You can put Pac-Man into Pac-Man for Arch. There's an install So in Arch Pac-Man.
That's the package manager, I believe, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And as the files download, it goes through and, it has a little yellow C, Pac-Man, eating up the bits that it's trying to download.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny.
Huh. Well, you put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. And there's, you could do the fortune, cow say.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a link to the show notes. Link to the show notes. Link in the show
notes
for this.
That's good. All right. Well, what do we have next? I don't have a KDE corner this week, although I will make a quick mention of the fact that I believe that the KDE, application frameworks, they just had a release for Kubuntu this past week, and I don't have the number, unfortunately, but, I will make a mention of that. I do have a Linux convention scene for the month of June when we're ready for it.
All right, let's go for it. Yeah.
All right. And, you know, we just mentioned MongoDB, and June 1st and 2nd, which actually is tomorrow and Tuesday, at the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers in New York City, New York. So nice they named it twice. We have MongoDB World 2015. Now, data is only worth what you make of it. MongoDB elevates the value of your data by letting you build transformative applications limited only by your imagination. Boy, that sounds just wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then we turn our attention from there immediately over to Japan, because at the same time, next week, we have the Automotive Linux Summit. Now, this brings together innovative minds from, wait, I thought they were all at the MongoDB. Oh, wait, I guess they're the ones that aren't there, the innovative minds, will be from automotive, open source, including system engineers, Linux experts, R&D managers, business product managers, and legal compliance specialists, et cetera, to discuss Linux in the automobile.
Nice.
Yep. And then.
Where did you say that was at?
That's in, I'm sorry. That's in, Shinzanso Conference Center in Tokyo.
Oh, all right. Nice.
They just had an earthquake last week. It's like just this huge earthquake, but there was no tsunami associated with it. I guess it shook the entire country. So I hope everyone, hopefully there are no serious injuries there.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, at the same conference center, we've got LinuxCon Japan and OpenCloud Japan. This is the premier Linux conference in Asia that brings together a unique blend of core developers, administrators, users, you know, the normal band of of conspirators, to discuss and talk about Linux and other open source technologies. So. And what's driving the cloud and big data ecosystem today, along with best practices. So there'll be a link to that in the show notes. And then shortly after that, the following week, actually, we've got BSD CAN. I thought about going to it this year, and I just didn't. I'm going to Toronto, actually, in August. So for a Tigers game.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll go to the game, but I'll go to Toronto. But anyway, so BSD CAN, that's June 12th through the 13th, 2015, at the University of Ottawa in Ottawa, Ontario. It's a BSD conference that has quickly established itself as a technical conference for people working on and with BSD-based operating systems. So you can be, they really welcome developers they've got a fantastic formula that appeals to a wide range of people, from extreme novices, that would be me, to advanced developers. So how you can get both groups to fully appreciate a conference is really a skill that I think these guys could very well have mastered. So
all right.
One nice thing about BSD CAN is that they do release the videos over time. So that would be nice. And I usually find out about that when I listen to BSD Now. And speaking of that, not to digress from the convention scene, I'll be back there in a minute, but this last issue, or episode, I should say, of BSD Now, they were up at Linux, the Linux Northwest Festival. They're up in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they interviewed some Linux users, you know, about their perception of BSD and everything. So it was really kind of interesting. I mean, people, of course, had heard of it, and some, I think, had tried it a little bit. So I've thought that was really kind of a cool interview to do. So it was like maybe four or five people that they interviewed.
Yeah.
So, all right, Tony, you'll be interested in this. DockerCon 2015, June 22nd through the 23rd in San Francisco. This is a two-day multi-track conference organized by, guess who, Docker Inc.
Hey.
Yep, the conference will feature topics and content covering all aspects of Docker, and the surrounding ecosystem will be suitable for developers, DevOps, system administrators, C-level executives, and extreme noobs. No, just, I threw in that last one. But you know what? It's sold out. So apparently, it was so popular. It's all sold out. But I think you can get put on a waiting list. So if there are cancellations, you can get in there. So that's how popular that whole container virtualization, containerizing, and all that thing is these days.
Right.
So,
I mean, I admit Docker is like the new thing out. You know, it's it's the new shiny right now. And I was thinking about going with just regular Linux containers. And then as I thought about it, I need research to see how well it's supported in Ubuntu. Because everything I heard that it runs really great in Red Hat and Fedora. But I don't remember hearing anything about it in Ubuntu. And that's what my machine is running right now. So otherwise I'd have to wipe and reinstall.
Oh, you said right now. That's what it's running right now.
Are
you thinking of changing?
No.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's just I would have to change it if I went with containers, I believe.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong. So.
Well, somebody will let us know.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. All right, moving on to the next convention. June 23rd through the 26th, we have got the, and this is going to be actually at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston, Massachusetts. We've got the Red Hat Summit. So everything and anything related to Red Hat. They've got 200 plus sessions, hands-on labs, but like the Docker convention, it's pay to play. So they've got, and I think, they might be close to being sold out too. So, pretty popular. And then, last one we've got for the month of June that I'm aware of anyway of major or, you know, larger conventions. There's a lot of meetups that I didn't log here.
Right.
We've got the Open Source Bridge 2015. This is June 23rd through the 26th out in Portland, Oregon. Open Source Bridge is an annual conference focused on building open source community and citizenship through several days of technical talks, hacking sessions, and collaboration opportunities. Participants include developers, hardware hackers, community organizers, and people involved in the business of open source. So that's Open Source Bridge out in Portland. So,
all right.
There you have it. And that's the June Linux and Open Source Software Convention scene.
Cool.
That's right.
So one of those 11 pointless awesome things you can do with Linux terminal.
Yeah.
It's called C-Matrix. And it's an apt-get C-Matrix, apt-get install C-Matrix. And then just makes your screen look like the Matrix.
Well, it's like that screensaver that does that, except you can kind of call this up on command.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you pull that up, you just type C-Matrix, and it starts running it. And, so that made me think about it. I'm looking up that screensaver right now to install it.
Yeah, well, I wonder, I'm just thinking how this would do that, how this little script would do that, whether behind the scenes it just basically calls that screensaver right then and just starts it in a window, or whether there's something else to get all that stuff to fall like that.
Right. I'm not sure. That's
A
good question.
Anyway, well, we don't have to dive into it, but...
All right. So.
All right. I guess that's really all I've got for that.
All right.
Moving on to what?
Listener feedback?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
I think we
missed the news soundbite. But
did we?
Yeah, listener feedback.
Can you put that in?
It's listener feedback time.
Yeah, I can put that in.
Okay.
All right, so listener feedback. I think we had two things for the last 3 weeks.
We did, I think.
We had a couple people put notes on the website or comments on the website about how the PenguinCon audio was had issues. I remember changing something in the middle of the show, and I thought that fixed it.
He meant to turn off Matt's mic, but he turned off everyone else's mic.
Yeah, for some reason, after
just
I did
kidding.
The filtering, it cut out all audio but Matt talking, pretty much. So I'm going to...
That is so funny. I mean, ironically funny. But obviously, if you're listening to the show, it probably didn't sound that funny.
Right.
When you only have one voice and you don't have...
Oh, yeah, you can't understand
and a bunch of guffaws.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to try to, when I get a chance, I'm going to try to re-edit that. It's just I've been so busy.
Okay.
All right. And I don't know what else.
And then I believe we got something from Martino Jones And I believe that he had talked about, and I'm looking at this from a raw email file, so I have to kind of go through all the HTML and other stuff here. But we had talked about, let's see here. I'm having trouble reading this, actually. I should probably
on
save
what?
It as a...
When was it?
This was back...
Oh, Martinez, yeah. New listener. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote it to me, toward me.
Oh, okay.
And he says he just started listening as of the last show, which was 5:10.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's looking for more Linux news and reviews. So our show came up.
Oh,
and,
good.
He says that he likes our show and that he's also a student over at EMU.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
And, you know, we had, I think, a couple of episodes ago, and this is some kind of listener feedback. I'm trying to find the email, actually, and I don't track that as much. I leave it up to you guys. But there was a mention of software that managed, you know, budgeting software, managing money, and someone sent us an email talking about, and I apologize that I don't have your name handy, but you know how I am with that kind of thing. It's called Money Dance, and I went ahead and I installed it, took a look at it, and it's really kind of nice. What it does is it obviously allows you to maintain your checking account, your savings account, and then it provides the ability to generate several different types of reports.
Mm.
For example, account balances, asset allocation, currency history. I don't know if that's when, if you've done any currency exchange or something. Expenses, income and expenses, net worth, all sorts of different graphs and reports. So you can have the textual version or you can have it graphically represented. And it's, it looks, you know, fairly robust for that type of thing. And I think nice. He had talked about that and said that he uses that. And again,
yeah,
that is,
it was Scott.
Okay.
Email us about that.
Yeah, that's who it was. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I think we had talked about, was it K My Money? There's K My Money. There's
Grisby.
And there's a couple of other ones. And this one, you know, again, was, just called
Cash
Money Dance. Oh, you know, GNU Cash.
Yeah.
Yep. So this is called Money Dance in case you're interested.
All right.
And I think that's all that I've got.
There was email. It was mainly Matt going back and forth with somebody about the GPL and give back Felicity.
Uh huh. What's
so,
that? The fallacy.
Fallacy. That's
okay.
It, yeah. Anyway, so when Matt comes back, I'll let him expound upon that.
I honestly
didn't have time to read through it.
Okay.
And I think that was it.
All right.
Oh, we have an email here from our latest MP3s. We have 346 downloads.
Mm-hmm.
For our total MP3 downloads. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
But, all right, and I think that's it.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go on for some listener feedback.
Yeah.
All right, now that's it.
Well, no, we just
feedback.
Did listener feedback.
So, our outro music.
Featured music of the week.
And I figured that I had this music queued up for last week. Figured we would do it. And it's Stars and Stripes by the U.S. Marine Corps Band. So the reason that I chose this song is because whenever I think of being patriotic and Memorial Day and everything, I always think of this song. So that's why I wanted to play it.
Yeah. And besides that, we got 4th of July coming up in a month, so.
That's right. So it'll be the next show we'll play this again. No, I'm just joking. All right. And I think that's it.
Okay.
So you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 152.
Two-thirds. That's right.
And...
You're who?
Oh, yeah, I'm Tony Bemis.
And this is Mary Tomich. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
The Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tony Bemis, and Matt Bender.
Bite my 8-bit metal ass. That's bite with a Y.
The Linux Link Tech Show, live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast. On the web, www.tllts.org. By email, techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC channel, thelinuxlink.net, port 6667/techshow. And Flying Rich is so hot.
Hi folks, this is Chatter. Gay Wisher Honky Magoo 5150 and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at linuxluddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.